The Final Edition Radio Hour is a work of satire intended for people who own books, gentrify neighborhoods, and say they like kale. Please consume responsibly, the satire, that is.
This is Barry Lank, the West Coast producer of the Final Edition Radio Hour, and this is another show that is only from the West Coast, because, well, maybe because the latest mass shooting is only an hour and a half drive from where I'm sitting. So, we'll start our show with that, and another shooting that just happened in Colorado from another religious denomination, plus a little bit about the election. Not this election. And Santa Claus. Or Krampus. Then we'll start looking back on the year with some best-of sketches for the holidays. We'll crap on the media and C-Block, and then we'll fart on the government more in D-Block at the end. So welcome to California on this week's... Okay, everybody in unison. Okay, there's nobody here. I'm alone. Okay, the Final Edition Radio Hour. Where is everybody?
We take you to San Bernardino, California, where NRA spokesman Wayne LaPierre responds to the recent shooting at a facility for people with developmental disabilities.
Last Wednesday morning, gunmen stormed the Inland Regional Center here in San Bernardino and opened fire, killing more than a dozen people and wounding more than a dozen others. This is beyond tragic and entirely preventable. It would never have happened if the retarded people at that center had been armed. For years, we at the NRA have been trying to get guns into the hands of the retarded. And retarded people have always embraced this idea. Over and over, retarded people come up to me and say that more guns are the answer. Certainly, many other people from all walks of life also want guns, but retarded people in particular want a lot of guns, and retarded people are afraid that the government is about to take away all their guns. This is a very common retarded belief. We need more guns and bigger guns. Retarded people love big guns. I know I do. I've said this before, and sadly, I have to say it again today. The only thing that can stop a bad guy with a gun is a retarded guy with a gun.
Now call into Krampus, Santa Claus's evil alter ego.
Guten Abend, everybody. Willkommen to Calling Krampus, the weekly radio show where you call in and I answer your questions. Any questions?
Any questions?
Yeah, I made a little joke, sir. Okay, line one, you're on with Krampus.
Yeah, hi, Krampus. Long-time listener, first-time caller. I just wanted to know the atomic weight of boron.
10.811.
Thanks, Krampus. See, I told you! Drink up!
Wacky college kids, my absolute favorite. Line two.
Hi, Krampus, it's me. I'm naked and horny and covered in honey. Come to me, Krampus.
Oh, God in Himmel. Janice, I don't love you. I don't want to hear from you anymore. You know this violates the restraining order, yeah? Please, leave me alone, please. Barry, I told you to screen her out. She's a cuckoo bird.
Sorry about that, Krampus. She disguised her voice. It won't happen again.
Yeah, okay. See that it does not. Okay. Sorry, folks. Back to your calls. Line three, you're on mid Krampus.
Hey, Krampus, I doubled my holiday cookie recipe and it turned out awful.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Normally, I'm a great baker, but this time, man, I don't know what happened.
One question for you.
Huh?
Did you double the salt when you doubled the recipe?
Yeah, I did. Why?
You never do that!
Oh.
Some sort of salt chemistry voodoo, but you never double the salt when baking. I did that once myself, and my Schnachtengruben men was so bad I almost tossed my cookies. Ach, and now I make another joke. Barry, I'm on fire tonight. What did you put in my coffee?
9 shots of Jägermeister, same as every show.
Oh, see, now you're funny too, huh? Ha, ha, ha. Line four, you're on mit Krampus.
What did you do with my child?
Mrs. Kleinfluger?
Yes, you hideous demon. Where's my son?
There's no need to be insulting here. Now, which one was he?
Justin! His name was Justin!
Ah, yes. How could I forget? Justin in the dustbin. Oh, yeah, that was a good one. Ach, what a little shit he was. You raised an absolute Schweinhund. He was always bullying the other children at school. He killed your cat, Mr. Mittens, and then blamed the dog.
Oh, no. We put Scrappy down because of that.
Yeah, I know. So last Christmas, I stuffed him into my basket and took him straight to hell. He fit right in. He's a little shit. What, do you want him back?
Yes. He's my son.
Okay, what the hell, it's the holidays. But you tell that little scheißfresser that not only is Santa Claus watching, but so am I. All right, next caller, you're on with Krampus.
Hi, Krampus. Guess where I'm touching myself.
Barry!
Sorry.
God, we'll be right back.
We now return to the Republican presidential debate, still in progress.
Carly Fiorina. You implied you saw a video of an aborted fetus at Planned Parenthood kicking its leg. We can find no such video from a Planned Parenthood clinic. Plus, most of Planned Parenthood's work is with contraception and STDs. Nonetheless, the man charged with killing three people at a Planned Parenthood in Colorado Springs said something about baby parts. Would you care to correct your previous statement?
Everyone knows that liberals are marketing human body parts. And not just Planned Parenthood. Look at motorcycle dealers. People buy motorcycles, then crash into horse trailers. And now they're organ donors. You don't think that's by design?
Okay. While you were answering that question, a man shot up a motorcycle dealership in Albuquerque. Do you wish to soften your rhetoric slightly?
And hospice nurses. They sign up for special training just to watch people die. What kind of sick animal does that? Yet, we don't even arrest these people. We actually pay many of them a whopping $64,000 a year. A family could live on that salary. Almost.
Okay, three gunmen have now barricaded themselves in a hospice in Scranton. One last question, Ms. Fiorina. Would you please stop doing this?
And let's not forget public schools. They're not just factory farms for children parts. These schools raise entire human beings to replace the old ones. I'm not saying you should storm into an elementary school and kill all the pod people. I'm just saying that's what a real man would do.
We will return to the Republican presidential debate after we evacuate the area.
Do you have a rape conviction and want it off your record? Then come on down to Donnie Mayfield's Comedy Rape School. I'm Donnie, a professional comedian and winner of the Petaluma Comedy Competition. Rape is a serious crime, but that doesn't mean we can't have some fun while we talk about it. You learn about the laws and ethical issues of rape through jokes, games, and activities. Check out the fun!
Okay, guys, we're going to start this next section with a little role-playing. Joe, pretend to rape Steven.
Got it. I'll pretend.
Why are you using air quotes?
Excuse me. Why am I here?
A rape conviction can hurt you on the job market and force you to go door to door introducing yourself every time you move to a new neighborhood. So come on down to Donnie Mayfield's Comedy Rape School and laugh it right off your record. Call us at 1-800-667-2737. That's 1-800-NO-RAPES. It's even in the phone number. And if you want to catch my stand-up act, I'm emceeing at Fuddruckers in Encino this Wednesday. I'll also be at the clubhouse on Vermont Street Thursday doing more of an improv character thing. Hope you can make it. And remember, no means no. But for a really good time, call Donnie Mayfield's Comedy Rape School.
Hey, Joe, what are you doing?
What?
As the Democrats continue making strides in the 2016 presidential election, the Republicans have already won the 2018 election. Our Richard Hertz has the story in Tree Hole, Virginia.
I'm talking to Lauren Davis, who's running for, well, your poster says, dictator in 2018.
That's right, Richard. Libtards never vote and off your elections, so that's when we elect our local dictator.
And it's pretty much unlimited power within Tree Hole Township.
Absolutely. I can officiate at weddings, have people's hands cut off, privatize clean air, change the rules of mathematics.
You do have opposition this year, a Dr. Randy Mishkin from the local Democratic Party.
I look forward to a spirited debate with Dr. Mishkin. He's a very smart man who just recently retired from medical practice. because his hands were cut off.
And Lauren Davis is not alone. Over in Lane County, Alabama, Joe Summers got elected to the zoning board in an off-year election, then put the entire county under Sharia law.
I'm making one campaign promise this year: to finish the Armenian genocide.
And you're not even worried about winning the election?
I'll get 100% of the vote, same as always. We passed a law in 2006 that said you can't vote ever again unless you voted in 2006. It's fair. We voted on it.
Finally, Ron Wilson, who got himself elected king of Rutland Township, Ohio, has this message for the next president of the United States.
We seceded from the Union 10 years ago. You didn't notice.
This is Richard Hertz for the final edition.
We'll be back with more of the Final Edition Radio Hour! We're back with the Final Edition Radio Hour!
Hello. I'm Stanley Sherman.
And I'm his wife, Rita Sherman.
We're the people in the car ahead of you in traffic.
The white SUV.
And we're here to encourage you to subscribe to the Final Edition podcast.
We are very interested in things.
We appreciate a show that takes time to examine the issues.
It makes us more informed voters. Whether to go to the right or go to the left or go straight or stop and consider our options.
Well, the light is green up ahead, so we better slow down. This will take all my concentration.
Be careful, Stan.
I know.
The Final Edition Podcast. We have one.
Welcome to our annual Christmas pageant starring officers and civilian staff from the Rotoville Police Department. And now, on with the show. 'Twas Christmas, the season of order and peace, and a wish from the hard-working chief of police.
I love my subordinate police officers so much. If only I could give them something for Christmas. Sergeant Brickman, if you wished upon a star, what wish would that be?
I would wish for all the world to live as brothers, and a radio surveillance van with an infrared sensor.
Poor Sergeant Brickman and his mysterious coughing disease.
Don't worry about me, Chief. I'll be just fine.
So the chief walked outside, in the graveyard shift air, thinking that life isn't always so fair. Then he looked at the night sky, and there out so far was the very same aforementioned wish upon star.
Oh, star that I wish upon for a Christmas miracle. I wish Sergeant Brickman could use a new surveillance van with an infrared sensor before he succumbs to that mysterious coughing disease.
And the star replied,
oh, kindly police chief, don't you know you've had the power in you all along to make your wishes come true? All you have to do is believe in yourself. And then just go out and take people's stuff under civil forfeiture laws.
Oh, yeah, I can do that.
If you suspect someone of selling drugs, you can just take the house, even if you don't press charges.
Yeah, I always forget about that.
Then just sell the fucking house.
Yeah, sell the house. Screw those people.
Yeah, screw them, right?
Yeah.
And so, through the night, policemen got tough, just looking for people and taking their stuff.
Yeah, we're not arresting any of you people, but your new stereo is guilty of interstate trafficking.
I'm confiscating this money because I don't see any legitimate reason to have this much cash lying around.
It's just $14.
My kid wants a pony, and you know what? This pony has been dealing crack.
Thus they continue to cruise through the night, filling their cars with all money in sight, with baubles and trinkets and furs deep and wide, and somebody's car with a roach clip inside. They auctioned some off, then a Christmas Day shocker presented itself in the evidence locker. You wished on a star? Well, then here's your answer. A radio van with an infrared sensor.
I can die in peace,
said poor Sergeant Brickman, and then he did. That's it, guys. Now go out and make a Christmas miracle.
Hi, I'm Bob Lonergan.
And I'm Brent Hightower. We're from the Consolidated Candy Corn Council.
And now that Halloween is over, we at the CCCC want to point out that nothing stops you from enjoying candy corn all year round.
For 365 days a year, we proudly show up at 5 a.m. to make new batches of candy corn. Or, as the Indians called it, candy maize.
And it doesn't matter when you buy it, because you can't tell if candy corn is stale or not.
You can liven up a lunch bucket and even a Christmas party with a little candy corn.
Ever tried adding candy corn to trail mix? Well, me neither. But there's technically no reason why you shouldn't be able to do that.
Plus, it creates jobs, especially for the candy corn farmers.
All kidding aside, it provides jobs at our candy corn factory in Deer Kill, Montana. Brutal, tedious, deadening jobs.
Plus, it helps the people who make our ingredients. High fructose corn syrup, guar gum, yellow dye number 5, yellow dye number 6, and of course, the legally allowable amount of metal shavings.
And hey, you should really enjoy candy corn while you can. Candies don't always last forever, you know. I think we all remember what happened to the chocolate-covered nigger toes.
So, as you head into the holiday season and eventually the new year, we at the... Sorry. We at the CCCC want you to keep candy corn in your life.
By the way, we also brought along Roger Fentonson Mortarkin, Phil, from the Peeps Advisory Board. Roger, you want to add anything?
Eat more Peeps!
Thanks, Roger.
Well, that's great. So until next time, here's our mascot, Colonel Corny Cornhole. Corny, what have you got to say to the kids out there?
I said, but my kidneys hurt.
Thanks, Corny.
I can't feel my feet.
Final Edition asks the man on the street, what do you think about the war on Christmas?
Well, I think we're winning.
This Christmas Eve, I'm going to leave a tuna fish sandwich out for Santa, and I'm going to put my dick in it.
Shouldn't the elves be fighting this? I mean, it's their conflict after all.
I want to be a dentist.
As long as I don't have to pull tinsel out of my cat's ass, the war is won.
This week, Webster is coming out with their new dictionary, and we're excited to welcome senior editor Charles Van Dorn IV to explain some of the changes in the new edition. Charles, welcome.
Yeah.
Charles, are you okay?
Oh, yeah, just the whole week has been... I'm fine.
All right. Well, for a little background, we've been seeing a lot of changes in dictionaries in recent years, haven't we?
Oh, God, yes. I mean, we started adding texting abbreviations like OMG and IMHO, and then we brought in made-up slang terms like bromance and man cave and chillax, and then we changed the definition of the word literally so it means not literally. And after that, I stopped fighting.
So what's going to change in the dictionary this year?
Oh, from now on, every word in the English language is just going to mean whatever you want it to mean.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, you know, usage changes, and that's how language evolves, and blah, blah, blah. I'm just tired of thinking about this.
Do you have any specific examples?
Well, for instance, we're changing the definition of irony. Now it really is rain on your wedding day, a free ride when you've already paid, the good advice you just didn't take, whatever you want.
A song about irony destroyed irony. That actually is ironic.
Nope, that's not what irony means anymore. Whatever the situation you just described, there's no longer a word for that.
So is that the only change?
Oh no, there are hundreds. Espresso is now spelled with an X.
Uh-huh.
The word whom is just gone. It never was. Also, the words less and fewer are interchangeable. You can have less chickens now and fewer water.
And the word it's. When does it have an apostrophe? When it's a contraction of it is or when it's the possessive?
It has an apostrophe whenever you want it. Just, I don't know, put it at the beginning of the word. Who cares?
Are there any new words going into the dictionary?
Yeah, there's yow, wow, 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 wow.
Wow. What's that mean?
Doesn't mean anything yet, but a guy in southern Wyoming made that noise a couple times, so now it's out there, and we have to account for it.
Sure. One last question. Does black now mean white?
Oh, people haven't gone down that road yet, so for now we're just splitting the difference. Black means gray.
Charles Van Dorn IV, it's been a pleasure talking to you.
23 Skidoo.
Hello there, Bonnie Williams?
Yes, doctor, I'm Bonnie Williams.
You're here to terminate your pregnancy?
Yes, I am, doctor.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Bonnie, just relax. As you may be aware, before an abortion can be performed in this state, certain procedures must take place.
Yes, I understand.
You probably also know we are the last abortion clinic in the state that's still open, so naturally we take our responsibility very seriously.
I'm sure you do.
Okay, great. First, Bonnie, the state requires me to ask you this question. Why do you want to do such a terrible thing to your baby?
That's a rather inappropriate question, doctor, don't you think?
I'm sorry, Bonnie, but I'm not allowed to tell you what I think. However, state law demands that you explain why you want an abortion.
I'm not going to dignify that question with a response.
That's fine. I hear that all day long. Fortunately, the state has provided several possible answers. You just have to pick one. Is it A, I have a mental illness and should not be around small children? B, I'm afraid of becoming physically unattractive to my boyfriend? Or C, if I had to raise a child, I wouldn't be able to party?
Doctor, I'd really rather not have any of those responses on my medical record.
I understand completely. Why don't I just pick the one that I think it is? Okay.
Can we please do this now?
We're getting there, Bonnie. Now I'm going to show you a picture, and I want you to look at it and tell me how it makes you feel.
This isn't an ultrasound of a fetus, is it?
No, Bonnie, it is not. This is just a photograph that state law requires you to look at. Relax, it's from People magazine. What do you see?
It's a baby.
Do you notice anything special about the baby?
No, I don't know why you're showing it to me.
Fair enough. Okay, Bonnie, I'll explain. The reason I'm showing you the picture is this baby is so gosh darn cute. Isn't she?
Yeah. What's your point?
Well, Bonnie, my point is, state law requires you to consider the possibility that someday you will regret aborting a baby that's not even half that cute.
Doctor, I drove 1,100 miles to get to this clinic, and I'm missing 3 days of work, which I'm not getting paid for. So I would like you to do your job!
Hang in there, Bonnie. We're almost done.
I don't think I need to remind you, doctor, that this is a personal decision.
I totally agree with you. This is an extremely personal decision between a woman and her conscience and her family, which is why we've invited a very special person to have a word with you at this most critical juncture in your life. It's your dad. Come on in, Mr. Williams.
Dad?
What in the hell are you doing? You weren't going to tell your mother and me about this?
Dad, I'm 37.
How did you let this happen? Were you drunk?
Dad, I can't talk to you right now. I'm about to get an abortion.
Who's the father?
I'm not telling you!
Do you even know who the father is?
Dad, this is the best thing for me right now.
Yeah, it's just great. For you. And I thought your sister was the selfish one. I want you to explain this to your mother. I'm calling her right now.
Okay, Mr. Williams, time's up. Thank you for stopping by and helping Bonnie with her decision.
This is my fault for letting you move to Biloxi!
Dad!
What did that innocent little baby ever do to you?
All right, Bonnie, it's just about that time. But before we proceed, I have to ask you once more. Do you still choose to terminate?
Absolutely, yes.
Fair enough. If you'll just sign and initial these forms that say the state did everything within its power to get you to change your mind, but you refuse to listen.
Thank you, doctor. Okay, so we're finally doing this, right?
Yes, we are, Bonnie. After the customary waiting period.
What? I have to come back in 24 hours?
No. Now it's a month.
A month? How do you live with yourself? You're a doctor! You're supposed to help people!
Well, that's not technically true.
You're not supposed to help people?
I'm not a doctor. I'm an actor playing a doctor.
Why are you even here?
Hey, you go where the work is, and none of the doctors would do it.
I want to talk to somebody in charge.
Sure thing. When you go out this door, get in the line of pregnant women that snakes around the block.
You know what, doctor? I'm just going to get back in my car and drive until I find a clinic somewhere in the United States that will give me an abortion!
I hope you find what you're looking for, Bonnie. But if not, we'll see you on July 27th, if we're still open.
If you is or if you ain't my baby.
Hey, Zug, guess what?
There's more coming up on the Final Edition Radio Hour?
No. Huh? You never should have come around these parts.
Let's return to the golden days of yesteryear with the Final Edition Radio Hour.
Hi, I'm Julia Roberts.
And I'm Sarah Jessica Parker.
Whenever we get a break from voiceovers or Revlon ads or whatever the hell it is we do now, we like to catch up on the Final Edition Radio Hour.
That kind of trenchant cultural satire always makes me wonder why we don't hire their writers for something.
But then we always forget to follow up on that.
Yeah.
We think you should listen to the Final Edition because the people who produce it, well, things aren't going to end well for them.
Okay, ladies, it's time to get back on the movie set.
Be right there, James Cameron.
The Final Edition Radio Hour. It's the show you're listening to right now.
Today on Morning Fear, is your head too small?
Plus a new kind of cancer that's airborne. We have an expert who's heard of it.
That's today on Morning Fear.
This is MSNBC's Midday. I'm your host, and my name doesn't matter. Even I can't tell this show from the next one. Today, we're talking about why gay marriages are more important than straight marriages. And with me in the studio are two other MSNBC hosts whose names also aren't important. Hello.
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 Today, our topic is still same-sex marriage because it seems to me that's the new civil rights issue of our time. So this is the chance for straight people to prove we would have stood with Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Guest number one. Do you agree?
Well, my view of all things gay is much less self-interested than yours. I just think that same-sex things are worth more than straight things, and this is a mathematical fact. For instance, yesterday I found a dollar.
A dollar. Okay.
A gay dollar.
Oh, a gay dollar. That is so wonderful.
And valuable. It turns out that in the monetary exchange rate, a gay dollar is worth about $1.23 of a straight dollar.
That's even better than the Canadian dollar.
Can I just add one thing to the conversation?
Go ahead. Guess number two.
I have many gay friends, and I am frequently offended on their behalf.
I am so glad you said that. That is so important.
Well, that's all I came here to say. I'm going to take off, if that's okay with you guys.
Sure. One last question for my remaining guest. Guest number one, I'm cool enough to be gay, right?
Well...
The Charge Network, your one-stop TV channel for irrelevant wedge issues. Tonight, all of media is owned by only three people. We address that by asking, do women need more abortions?
More!
No, completely the opposite.
Then, Congress cares about campaign funds, and they're all bought. So we ask the question you're all wondering, what do gay people look like when they kiss?
Bad!
Good!
Finally, should we help the oil companies by fighting in Syria with troops, or should we help the oil companies by fighting in Syria with drones?
Spacenik!
Racist!
It's loud arguments about bullshit on the Charge Network!
Later tonight, scientists report that a comet is headed towards Earth. Congress responds with a vote to repeal Obamacare. But now, it's search engine optimized news. News written to show up first in a Google search.
Actress Jennifer Lawrence condemned the Muslim extremist group ISIS today. Jennifer Lawrence, known for her roles in The Hunger Games, The Hunger Games Catching Fire, The Hunger Games Mockingjay Part 1, The Hunger Games Mockingjay Part 2, X-Men First Class, X-Men Days of Future Past, the upcoming X-Men Apocalypse, and The Bill Engvall Show, said the Muslim extremist group ISIS is an enemy of the Muslim people. Actress Jennifer Lawrence, the actress known for her roles in Silver Linings Playbook, House at the End of the Street, American Hustle, Winter's Bone, and one episode of Monk, says the Muslim extremist group ISIS now faces backlash from their latest atrocity committed upon a Jordanian pilot who is a pilot from Jordan who fell afoul of the Muslim extremist group ISIS, according to acclaimed actress Jennifer Lawrence.
And now, sports.
Ray Rice. Ray Rice NFL, Ray Rice Timeline, Ray Rice Domestic Violence, Ray Rice Halloween Costume, Ray Rice Baltimore Ravens, Ray Rice Roger Goodell, Ray Rice, Ray Rice, Ray Rice spelled with two I's. Derek Jeter.
This has been Search Engine Optimized News, news written to show up first in a Google search.
Today on Morning Fear, your doctor knows nothing.
Plus, fruit will kill you.
That's today on Morning Fear.
Good evening, and welcome to I Don't Watch the News That Much. I'm Roy Dankwood. Joining me tonight in my roundup of this week's headlines is Brent Risselman, who a couple of weeks ago just appeared out of nowhere to help me change a flat tire. Thank you for joining me, Brent.
Don't mention it. You'd be surprised how many people don't know how their jack works.
Well, I certainly didn't know. Speaking of knowing things, Brent, as you may know, the Supreme Court is about to rule on whether the Obamacare subsidies are legal.
No, I didn't know that.
Well, you're not alone, Brent. A recent poll shows 70% of the public are barely even aware of the court's impending decision.
I wasn't aware of that either, Roy.
Then I guess you'd fit right in. But if the Supreme Court does rule against the government, 10 million people will lose their health insurance, and Obamacare itself could go down the drain.
I'm not a big fan of Obamacare, Roy, and I'll tell you why. I get my health insurance from my employer. So my feeling is if people want health insurance, they should have a job that gives them health insurance.
Well, I see your point, Brent, but many employers don't provide insurance, and people in those jobs need the federal subsidies to pay for it. If the Supreme Court decides the subsidies aren't legal, millions of people will have to give up their coverage. Doesn't that seem like a bad thing?
Well, I'm no expert, but if those people really want health insurance so badly, they shouldn't give it up just because they can't afford to pay for it. That's just common sense.
But people don't want to give up their health insurance. It's just that without the subsidies, they won't be able to pay the premiums because they don't make enough money.
Yeah, but take me, for example. I have a job, and my job pays for my health insurance.
I know, Brent, but what about people whose jobs don't, or people who don't have jobs? That was the whole point of Obamacare, that it provided ways people could still be covered.
That's all fine and good, Roy, but what about people who already have health insurance?
What about them?
What they don't tell you about Obamacare is if you already have health insurance, Obamacare doesn't do anything for you. I don't think that's fair, Roy.
Well, Brent, I think Obamacare was supposed to solve the problem that millions of people don't have health insurance. Since you already have health insurance, you don't need to solve that problem.
Right, but let's look at it from my point of view, Roy. Obamacare helps other people, but it doesn't help me.
That's very true, Brent. But if for some reason you lost your job, Obamacare would guarantee that you wouldn't lose your health insurance. Under those circumstances, wouldn't you be glad Obamacare could do that for you? Brent?
I have a job.
We are going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll talk about the strange case of former NAACP President Rachel Dolezal.
Hey, if she says she's a woman, she's a woman.
Today on Clickbait, 10 popular actors who were in another thing once.
Wow, Emma Watson was totally in a movie before she was in that other movie.
A heartwarming video of a cat not being a total asshole. A hilarious video of a cat being a total asshole. 10 celebrities who aged since 15 years ago.
How dare they?
A clip from a TV show we didn't even produce, but we get the traffic.
Because it's an important message.
20 famous people who didn't used to be famous. You won't believe who's number 6.
See Prince Charles on the list.
15 stars who've never been able to... Oops, not enough room for that headline. Guess you'll have to click just to find out what the hell it even is.
I think I just downloaded child porn.
And a guy makes an amazing political statement that isn't really that amazing.
And it's from, like,
2 years ago.
That's today on Clickbait, where it's almost like you read something.
Chapter 1.
This is MSNBC Midday. Video has emerged of an unarmed black teenager in Regent, Pennsylvania, dead after an encounter with the police. We have reporter Mark Garrison here. Mark, what do we know so far?
17-year-old Laquan Jackson might have been an honor student who would have become a civil engineer someday. Probably. His family says he literally never did anything wrong. We do not know what happened with police, but we have this objective analysis from a man in Laquan's neighborhood.
Hey, man! The police killed him after f***ing him!
Chapter 2.
Fox News has learned that Laquan Jackson was a self-mutilator and deliberately cut himself at least once. Could he have also harmed himself in this case and shot himself from 10 feet away? Fox has questions.
Well, that certainly is a question. Plus, photos emerged of Laquan Jackson on a high school field trip to the American Air Power Museum, where he stood next to a 15,000-pound World War II howitzer. Could he have been aiming that 7-ton howitzer at police 3 months later?
That also is a question.
Chapter 3.
On a lighter side of the news, police in Regent, Pennsylvania, where Laquan Jackson was killed, are required to stop young black men and take all their money to pay for repairs to the turnpike. The mayor defended this policy as necessary.
So we should let the turnpike fall apart? We have pride in this town.
Chapter 4.
We're now in the second day of rioting in Regent, Pennsylvania, after Laquan Jackson's funeral. CNN correspondent Jake Pratt is on the scene. Jake, how's it look?
I've got someone yelling behind me. This might explode into violence.
They're treating us like fools. They're treating us like fools! The Steelers could have had the best defense in the league, and look at them! They're blowing it!
Well, I blame the front office.
Who else are you going to blame? They got all the players.
I don't know if this is protest-related, so back to you in the studio, and I'll let you know if this turns into a race riot of any kind.
Thanks, Jake.
You know, I just don't understand what these rioters think they're accomplishing. They could make their points so much better with peaceful demonstrations like the one on Thursday.
There was a peaceful demonstration Thursday?
Yeah, we didn't cover it, but that's not the point.
Chapter 5.
A few corrections here on Local News 10. There were actually 5 officers involved in the Laquan Jackson incident instead of 3 as previously reported. The bullet wounds were not where we said they were. The crime scene photo we've been using is from the Kent State shooting in 1970. Laquan Jackson's name is actually Jackson Laquan. And the picture we've been using for him is a 30-year-old photo of actor Wesley Snipes.
Chapter 6.
The governor of Pennsylvania had this statement today.
This has been a rough week for our state, but this has prompted a national conversation that can help police better understand the public, help the public better understand police, and ensure that this kind of tragedy will never strike. Again.
Chapter 7.
Tragedy strikes in a Missouri suburb as an unarmed 17-year-old black teenager is mistaken for an armed 52-year-old white paraplegic. Here's a report.
The police killed him after f***ing him.
I want everyone to make a lot of noise. I want everybody to make a lot of noise. Hip, hip, hooray, and a drum roll, boy. Happy, 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 make a lot of noise.
We'll be right back with more of the Rhino Richard Railroad Hour.
And now, more from the Final Edition Radio Hour.
Here's how to help the Final Edition Radio Hour.
My dearest iTunes comments section, I have lately returned from listening to the Final Edition podcast, and now give it 5 stars. But tell me, sweet iTunes, do you still remember our time in Venice?
Or you could do this.
Dear iTunes comments section, the Final Edition sucks. Everyone sucks. Also, I'm misspelling sucks.
If you rate our podcast or leave a comment, it helps raise our profile on iTunes. And if that sounds like we're begging for attention, it's because we literally are. We're also begging for money. But wouldn't it just be easier to pay the attention? The Final Edition Radio Hour. Review us on iTunes. Damn it.
S-U-X-S.
Hello, we are the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria. Some people call us ISIS.
But you shouldn't. You should call us the Islamic State, because we are all Muslims from now on.
Don't look at those other Muslims.
And whatever you do, don't call us ISIS.
And don't call us gay.
We are not gay.
We are proud kings of the entire Muslim world, no matter what the entire Muslim world says.
We are every Muslim united against the United States.
Except right now, we are all Muslims united against other Muslims.
But forget those other Muslims.
Especially the women. Yeah.
Just call us the entire Islamic State.
And don't call us the Islamic State of Abu and Rahman.
We are more than just two guys.
Two guys who hang out with each other and hate women and are not gay.
Don't call us gay.
Do not call us the gay Islamic State of two gay guys having the gay sex.
What we do is not sex. It is training.
Innocent, naked training.
So, to summarize, we are all Muslims, so do not believe all those other Muslims who say we are not.
And we are not repressed gay men who are cutting off the heads instead of masturbating each other.
Though we are also masturbating each other.
It is training.
My fellow Americans, I am Rod Crenshaw, State Secretary of the Secret Government, with a reminder to vote in the upcoming secret government elections. You may have already voted recently on state and federal offices, but don't forget that you also have to vote on issues pertaining to us, the government that actually runs things. So, here are a few items on the ballot that you should be aware of. First of all, this is Faisal Banfield.
Greetings, everyone.
He's running for president of the secret government, and just to get people caught up, Faisal, who are you running against?
No one.
Absolutely no one. So Faisal is going to get elected, and then you'll never hear his name again.
I'm leaving now.
Yes, sir. Next, we have ballot measures through your local secret governments. First of all, Proposition 97. Do you want Filipino food available in more neighborhoods? We're going to let you decide on that. Either way is fine with us. Second, Proposition 102. Should we encourage solar power? I don't want to influence you on this very important question, but you're going to vote no. And that's all today from your secret government. Remember our motto, we don't exist.
This land is your land, and this land is my land. From the California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters.
We are the Transportation Security Administration.
But you probably know us as the people who irradiate your balls.
Every day, airports in every major city flood with passengers trying to fly home to their loved ones, attend business encounters in exotic locations, or desert their families.
We need to protect those innocent people from terrorists who will attempt to board the plane with shampoo and mouthwash.
And that's why we need to irradiate your ball sack before you can board the plane.
We have to x-ray every American to expose all possible weapons and brighten our day with naked pictures of free Americans.
And bombard your balls with deadly radiation to protect future Americans.
Sometimes people ask, if we irradiate your balls, doesn't that kill future Americans?
Well, freedom isn't free.
Your children will have to make sacrifices for the sake of your children.
And your children's children.
Who will also make sacrifices.
Your noseless, mutated offspring will live in a secure nation where jihadists won't grab one of your children's children's children and cut off one of their multiple heads.
That's also why we probe your anus, to prevent trauma.
We search your bags to guard your privacy.
We confiscate your toiletries, to preserve toiletries.
And yes, we repeatedly kick you in the balls. To save the balls.
We are the TSA, the strongest, bravest, most well-trained legion of security professionals that Craigslist could muster.
Welcome to the U.S. Government Excuse phone mail system. Please type in a code for any recent problem so that we can explain why the U.S. government cannot do anything about it. You have chosen mass shootings. This problem results from multiple causes. Here is each one in turn, and why it is pointless even to complain. Mental health. Many people with mental health problems cannot get help, or will not get help, because they think they are sane, just like you think you are. To fix this, Congress would have to perform a series of nonpartisan studies, accept recommendations from a blue ribbon panel, turn those recommendations into legislation without inserting partisan doctrine, and allocate real money for a new social program. This will not happen because House Republicans are as useless as a yoga mat at a chili cook-off. Gun reform. Guns are widely available that fire more bullets more rapidly than ever, ensuring a larger body count when shootings occur. But we cannot restrict or even track this because the NRA is a cult and has made Congress as useless as a Chase Manhattan bank that opens right across the street from another Chase Manhattan bank. Media. Panic. Whenever someone shoots a lot of people, the media, and by extension the public, amplify the killer's puerile videos and monotonous writings, turning mass murder into an obvious path to celebrity and influence. This is a bad idea. You know it. I know it. The media knows it. Yet coverage plays out this way each time as if a robot were in charge. This is because the media, and by extension the public, are about as useless as a condom at Comic-Con.
This has been the U.S. government phone mail excuse system. If you have a suggestion for running the government, leave a message after the beep. You will not be recorded. It's just a beep.
Hi, folks. Welcome to the Focus Group. I'm Howard W. Mintz, and I'm a Republican pollster. You're here because you represent a cross-section of Republican voters, and we're just trying to find out who you like for president in 2016.
We like Trump.
Yeah. Donald's awesome.
Thank you. We haven't started yet. I'm going to ask you questions about the candidate's personality traits, and I want you to respond as honestly as you can. Whatever you do, don't say what you think I want to hear.
No problem, pal. You're going to hate our guts.
Fine. Now, when I say the word experience, which Republican candidate for president do you think of?
Reagan.
I mean of the candidates who are alive today.
That's a trick question.
No, I just want you to tell me the candidate you think has the most relevant experience to hold the office.
Why don't you just ask us which candidate's father and brother were both president?
I'm not trying to trick you. I'm just trying to ascertain. I'm just trying to determine which candidates you associate with which feelings. For example,
our feeling is this. We like Trump. Excuse me, love him.
Yeah,
that's right. We love Donald.
Okay, this is all extremely interesting. Let's try something else. Here's a phrase you may be familiar with, thin-skinned. Do you know what thin-skinned means?
Yeah. What about it?
I don't like where this is going.
When I say thin-skinned, which candidate do you think of most? Okay, let's see who doesn't fit that description. Well, Jeb Bush wouldn't fit it. Marco Rubio wouldn't fit it. Scott Walker. Mike Huckabee. Which of the candidates for president does not handle criticism well? In fact, when you criticize him, he lashes out and hurls insults at you.
Chris Christie.
That's it. Chris.
Yeah, that guy's got nothing. Glass chin.
That's true, but...
But that's not the guy you're thinking about, is it?
I assure you, I'm not thinking about any candidate in particular.
Right, you're in Bush's pocket.
Yeah, look, Donald Trump is not thin-skinned. You are.
Yeah. Okay, that's very helpful. Thank you. Moving on to a totally different question. When I use the phrase, respects women, which candidate does not come to mind?
Hillary Clinton.
Hillary Clinton is not one of the choices.
Bet she isn't.
I'm just asking you about Republicans now.
How about Carly Fiorina?
You think Carly Fiorina doesn't respect women?
Oh, I thought you meant which woman do I have no respect for?
All right, great. Now, let's talk about ideology. I'm not sure you folks are aware of this, but one of the major Republican candidates for president has given hundreds of thousands of dollars to the Democrats. Think about it. A man who says he's a Republican but gives money to Democrats. He actually helps Democrats win. Is that really what you would call a true Republican?
Look, buddy, we love Trump. Everyone in this room loves Trump. And there's nothing you can do about it.
Shove it up your butt, Mr. Pollster.
Okay.
It's not a poll.
Terrific. I don't mind. Really, I don't. It's a free country.
Yeah, a little too free.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Let's try one last thing just for fun. A hypothetical situation. Suppose Donald Trump was not running for president.
You wish.
No, really, just humor me, guys, okay? Just in the interest of polling data, supposing Donald Trump were to drop out of the race.
Don't even say that.
I'm simply trying to learn which candidate you would gravitate toward in the unlikely event that Donald Trump...
I'd never vote again.
I'd vote for him anyway, as a tribute.
As angry as I already am, that'd make me a million times angrier.
Trump says what we're all afraid to say.
I hate Mexicans.
What most of us are afraid to say.
Okay, focus group. Let's try to focus. If Donald Trump were no longer in the race, which of the remaining candidates would you be most likely to support?
I don't know. Maybe Ben Carson?
Yeah, Carson maybe. He's an outsider, too. Plus, he has absolutely no experience.
I agree. Also, he's a brain surgeon, and he hates Obamacare.
It's Trump or nobody, do you hear me? We have to stick together!
So, three of you would vote for Carson.
Yeah.
Do not indulge this man's filthy speculations. He's trying to destroy our dreams.
Not that I don't love Trump, man. Relax. But like, what if he wasn't around?
Excuse me, folks. Can I just say one thing? Look, folks. Here's the bottom line: the people in charge of these things, they're giving the nomination to Jeb Bush. Jeb Bush is getting the nomination. Okay. So vote for anybody you want. Just please understand how the world really works. Now, if you'll excuse me, I have to make a phone call.
Do you think that's true? No matter who we vote for, they're going to give it to Bush?
Probably. All those insiders are in the tank for Bush.
Yeah, they're just pretending to be worried about Trump.
Or maybe not.
And that's it for this week's show. All the sketches on this West Coast show were written and performed by Barry Lank, Jim Earle, Steve Rosenfield, Ebby Parker, Jeff Hendrick, and occasionally Kurt Weitzman. We used a lot of music from Kevin MacLeod on Incompetech.com. Our engineers on the West Coast are John Williams and Kurt Carlson. The East Coast engineers are Greg Russ and Andrew Hammond. Our executive producers are Jeff Chrysler and Tony Hendra. West Coast production is done by me, Barry Lank. And this holiday season, just remember one thing. Just the one thing. Doesn't really matter what it is.